was planting a new lawn.
Hi, Lori.
Hey.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bo. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is a Christian radio program you've tuned into called You Get the Blessing.
And we intend to get back to the Bible eventually.
Amen. But let's listen to a little more.
Yeah.
It's good. Good. Music to wake up by. Snap out of it, folks. It's that Sunday morning. You're with us.
You remember them recording this song?
Tell me about it.
Up on top of a building in London. You remember that? If you ever see the Let It Be.
It's not the last song they ever recorded, is it?
This was the... Actually, it wasn't, because they technically recorded Abbey Road after Let It Be, but Let It Be was that great one they kind of did live up on top and just went on the top of the building, started recording, and just the streets got jammed, and it was pretty cool. Anyway.
We're sort of stuck, folks, somewhere between the Bible and the Beatles. It's okay. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is Bob Belts. You have tuned into You Get the Blessing, and...
We are tilted toward the Bible, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But we've been stuck a lot on the Beatles here lately. We get to see the tribute and
I know
the new release of the, what's it called, Rock Band?
Rock Band, and remastered all their entire catalog. Totally sold out, by the way. Crazy. Whole new generation going crazy over the Beatles.
Well, my mom was a country girl from Oklahoma, two-fisted, blood-bought, born-again, Bible-packing, sin-hating Christian, and couldn't be a sweeter gal. When I was in the ninth grade, the Beatles came out in America, and the first song that they were playing on the radio, my mother said to me, "Son, listen to these guys. They're really good singers and really good writers." And I thought, hey, out of the way, Mom.
All right.
Tap into a little rock and roll.
She knew her music.
She did. So what we do on Sunday mornings here is try to introduce you to guests that are dynamic in their own way, not just like Bob and I.
Hopefully much more dynamic than you and I.
That's right. So
that's why we need guests, by the way.
We're looking for guests that are impacting lives in great ways and have stories to tell that are going to inspire you all. And thank you for encouraging us as the host of this program to keep doing what we're doing. We appreciate the emails and hearing from you. In fact, why don't you announce that, Bob? That's good news.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, we've had some great guests on and some fun shows that we've done in the past. And previously, you couldn't get access to any of those old shows. But now on the You Get the Blessing website, you can go back. And I think we've got like a year or so of past shows that you can go on and access off that. And you can get those online at yougettheblessing.com. And so check it out.
How about the Nichols a month or so ago? Whew, I lost three children. Had never told the story before. Came on our show, shared, and people just kept asking, how can I hear that program again?
And, you know, Mark is kind of part of our group on Wednesdays for men at Narrowgate. And, you know, I'd met Mark before, and I think most of the guys that hang out there knew him, and none of us knew the story. So pretty powerful stuff.
How about Michael Kalkman? That's been over a year ago. Go listen to that one, folks. Remember that? Guy was drinking with his buddies, wasn't he?
I don't remember the background, but I know what happened to him. Stuck under basically like an iceberg, dying.
And saw a little ray of light and thought he was drowning and swam just far enough to get up out from under the ice and had a come-to-Jesus meeting.
Yep, yep.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, glad y'all can catch up on those programs. And our guest today is Ken Whatmore.
Yes, sir.
Ken, tell us about the name Whatmore. Ken Whatmore. You heard it right.
That's right.
That's interesting.
It was the name given to me.
Okay. So,
I mean, if I could tell you some history about it, I probably would. But
that's a name they gave you.
Bucket list things. Find out, you know, track down the family.
Yeah. Let's close in prayer.
You know, my son, Ken, my son's name's Baker. And when Allison, you know, came up with his name, people would ask her, now, is that a family name? And we would say, well, it is now. You know, so.
That's right.
I like your answer, though. That's the name they gave me.
That's right.
So tell us about what was it like around your home growing up. What if we'd have just stumbled into your family room on a typical night, tell us a little about what that would have felt like.
Probably depends on which family room you stumbled into. I had a divorced parent, so I had two family units going on at the same time, and it depends on what time of my life and what time of year it was where I was at.
Well, tell us a little about that. What happened and when, and how old were you when it happened?
Sure. My mom and dad got divorced when I was just 2 years old, and I don't remember, you know, anything about that. I do remember thereafter some shining moments through life, and then I've blocked out probably most of it, but I've kind of revisited it lately to just try and patch some things together. But, you know, I lived with my father after they got divorced at my grandparents' house, at my dad's mom and dad's house. I lived with him for a short time, and he got remarried, and somewhere around third grade, I ended up moving in with my mom and my stepdad. She got remarried as well. And I, you know, I lived on one side of Florida, and my dad and my stepmom lived on the other side of Florida. So again, depending on the time, you know, you would come into either of the house and you wouldn't find a Christian home at all in either place. You'd find from what I can remember, kind of a partying family, kind of a, you know, on my dad's side, he wasn't a drinker or anything like that, but they were socialites to some degree in a blue collar way, not, you know, no upper class stuff going on. My mom's side, it was definitely, you know, it was a party with, all the drinks you could have. You know, my mom was an alcoholic, my stepdad, an alcoholic, my mom's line of family, my grandfather, her dad, an alcoholic. So the line goes down, and it was a disturbed place.
I got that with my people from Western Oklahoma.
Sure.
All of them. I never became a drunk because I never started drinking, but there's hope.
Yeah.
By the way, I like the expression blue-collar socialite. I finally figured out where we are.
Yeah, I guess.
Blue-collar socialites. I'm one of those.
Yeah. Well, you're about like the friendliest face, first impression, tone of voice, phraseologies of anybody I've met. Did that get instilled in you as a kid? In spite of all this pain, you just were kind of born happy, or did you go through the
mud? No. You know, through the mud, no question about it. All glory be to God. I mean, I am where I am right now, and God has blessed me with an amazing family, a passion to serve Him, and, you know, I just hope I'm doing it right. You know, I mean, I think that's the goal, is to always make sure you get it right and not be serving yourself. And unfortunately, we all stumble in that area, and I'm guilty as anybody is. But no, there was a muddy trail, you know, of a kid who always wanted to be accepted, who was kind of a mess. And in a short span of time, I'll tell you that, you know, going to my mom's house is moving back to where I remember. You know, I don't remember a whole lot with my dad, except for that it was a safe place with my dad until he got remarried. You know, when I was with my dad at my grandparents' house, that was a safe zone. When he got remarried, they had a miscarriage, and that became a point of turmoil for me as a kid, because my stepmother had it against my mother that her child lived and hers didn't. So there was a fight going on because of that between the two ladies. There was a fight going on between my dad and my mom that was justifiable because my father caught my wife, my mom in adultery. And, you know, my dad, just moving back a little bit, my dad got approached by some neighbors at some point, and the neighbors had told my dad, you know, when you're gone during the day, there's an awful lot of traffic going in and out of your house.
This is starting to sound like a bad country western song.
And probably as bad as it could get, yeah.
And so you're stuck right in the middle of this.
Yeah, and that's a part where I don't remember. But then moving into my mom's and my stepdad's, you know, it became an ugly situation. My stepdad and I never had a good relationship. He was a guy who used to verbally abuse me. But, I'm not going to cry victim here. I was a kid. God gave, you know, me a way out, and I'm out now, and praise God for him. And they all have their own problems because of their choices in life as well. So, you know, that's where
my dad, I guess, would say verbally abused me, because when I was playing high school baseball, I remember he'd say, see, now this is what it looks like when you hit 300, and this is what it looks like when you hit 450. Do you see the difference here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yes, that inspired me, but now they would call that verbal abuse, wouldn't they?
I doubt it.
Pushing me too hard.
Oh, anyway,
yeah. Maybe not.
So what was kind of the turnaround for you?
You know, well, I'll tell you this, and to move fast forward after I have to say that there was a lot of times when there was drug use and things like that leading into my teen years. When I was 15 years old, I got introduced to Young Life, and I went to a Young Life camp after several meetings, and I gave my life to Christ on my 15th birthday at
what camp?
Southwind, Oklawaha, Florida, Ocala, in the swamps of northern Florida. And, you know, that was a turning point for a time. It was a turning point for a time, and I think it was significant. But at some point, a year and a half or so down the road, after being kind of a Bible thumper for a while, you know, I just kind of mixed right back into the same problems. Go ahead.
Dale Tackett, who wrote The Truth Project, says he's really trying to do, especially in these youth ministries around the world, is lay a track down in a kid's head that's in there forever.
Yeah,
in regards to Christ, the gospel, and his kingdom. So that track was laid down in your head. And Young Life, for those of you listening that don't know, is a great high school ministry. I met Christ in Young Life. So they have at least two converts right here. But they just basically meet the kids right where the kids are. A lot of singing, messing around, skits.
Yeah.
Pretty relaxed approach. But you got away from it like we all did after the initial acceptance and... What happened next?
Well, I will say on that, I think that there's a key, though, that can be learned from all that, and that's that in youth ministry, I would sure encourage people to say this. Leaders need to follow up with those kids because kids drop off after they leave high school. They get in that safe environment. It's comfortable. Everybody that's cool is at Young Life. They're having a great time. They go off to college, and there's no leader. So there's other organizations that you can step into, but leaders need to introduce them. I think there's a handoff that has to happen somewhere, you know, and you can implant and you can, you know, you got to keep praying for those kids. You know, it doesn't stop when they get out of high school. But there's so many kids and there's so few leaders, right? The harvest is plenty, the workers are few, and that's a truth. So for me, I went off and did my own thing, and I will tell you, in the effort to be faithful to the time that we have here, I lived a crazy life for a long time. I met my wife. My wife and I were, you know, kind of crazy. We, you know, we partied a lot. We didn't have any concern for
blue
the
collar.
Things of God. Blue collar. Trying to be, you know, gold collar. We tried to live way beyond our means, and we succeeded at that for some time and did everything worldly. And I would say that there was a point when my brother-in-law had become a Christian, and he was talking to his sister. And he was very abrasive in his approach. And that was okay. But he was very abrasive in his approach to her. And at some point I had to say, now I was, at that point, I got to tell you, I was smoking a lot of marijuana. You know, I didn't care about the things of God, and I was living for making money. I was in the car business trying to, you know, be on trips every weekend, eat out every night. That's what we did. And, I would tell you that, at one point I said to him, I said, hey, you can't talk to your sister like that. I'm a Christian. I'm the leader of this house. I'll do it. And he kind of looked at me like, you're a Christian? Really? Because, you know, I couldn't see it. I didn't see that you were a Christian. I would have never guessed. And at that point, it was when God was saying, hey, man, you know, you are supposed to be the leader of this house. And if you remember anything you learned before, you know, it's time to take over. So that kind of played into me a little bit. And as I remember going to work and praying constantly and not really understanding grace and salvation you know, once saved, you know, I didn't really get all that. And I remember praying to God and saying, God, you know, I know I've blown it. I know I'm out, but I sure don't want to stand in the way of my wife knowing her creator, you know? And, there was a point when basically he said, you know, I'm going to take care of that. You know, but you got to step up. So I prayed and prayed, and it looks like, are we going to a break?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're going to you. I was going to say, Bob, let's hear from you just a second at this point. Ken's telling about these feelings of thinking, hey, I've blown it. I'm out. I can't get back in, and I might as well let my wife have a shot of getting in. How is that?
Well, I was just thinking, as Ken said three things right there that I instantly was thinking, somebody's driving down the road and have no clue what he just said. Grace, save, once saved, salvation, grace anyway. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're there and these things are a little bit foggy to you, grace is a great concept that says that God gives us what we could never earn. I like grace and mercy. Mercy means we don't get what we do deserve. And grace being the gift of God that is free, that we could never earn. So an unmerited favor, and of course the ultimate expression of that being what Jesus did, which then leads to salvation, which is simply a word that means word that really speaks about when we open our life to Christ and say yes to the gift of forgiveness and newness of life and all that comes with the package, that idea all is kind of wrapped up in the word salvation. Actually, literally, in the culture of the day, of the biblical day, it was a word that meant deliverance from a desperate situation.
Mm.
So, I mean, if you were getting ready to get creamed in a battle and, you know,
you got
out of it, you were saved, you know. So, and then, you know, I'll let you actually, as you tell your story, kind of explain what you meant when you said kind of the once saved thing.
But you felt like this, I know. Don't go into the story.
Okay.
Everyone feels like this, looking at whatever it is we think is a Christian and just thinking we don't measure up.
Yeah.
I know Mark Klibbe did.
Yeah.
I can't fit over there. You know, don't chew, don't date girls that do. I'm out.
Yeah. I went from being totally disinterested to, when I got interested, feeling I could never join the team, you know.
Mm.
But
so keep moving there. Yeah.
Sure. No, absolutely. And then that great timing on that, because I'm sure there's somebody who stops and thinks about that sometimes. And I know that I was at that place. And, you know, so I prayed and I prayed and I said, God, you know, I don't want to be in the way of her meeting her creator and knowing who you are and being able to experience the joy of eternal life. I knew what that felt like once, but I thought that I'd blown it. So, you know, we were moving into a new home, and our home backed up to a church. And I remember my wife, who was, you know, the furthest thing from even knowing who Christ was. And she was like me as a kid. They didn't have any measure of who he was other than TV shows at Christmas time, you know.
Mm.
And that was a caricature, right? Mm. And, you know, there was a point where she had put her name on a list to join this group. And it was MOPS, Mothers of Preschool. It was a Christian group for mothers, and it's a great group as well. Well, she was kind of locked into our house. She would never go out. She was not a social person at all. And she got, you know, called, and they said, it's time for you to go, and, you know, you can come into the group. You're okay. Mm-hmm. So she went, and next thing you know, she was telling me, I kind of want to buy a Bible. And I was like, wow, you know, and that's wild. Sure, you know, go buy a Bible. So she went, and she bought a Bible, and I had won this trip. I was in the car business, and I had gotten this trip from Ford, and it was a, you know, the real daddy trip. You know, you go out there, it's a spa in California, and everything's paid for, and they give you gifts every day in your hotel. And we had met some friends out there, and we were just having a great time, and, you know, partying away. And
I don't spa well, by the way. I don't really want anybody touching.
Me neither, actually. But
good.
At this place, my wife was spending their time out on the balcony reading her Bible.
And, actually got a Bible and read it.
She was reading it. Yeah, she was studying. She didn't just read it, man. She studied it. And on that trip, she gave her life to Christ.
Wow.
And she came back to tell me that.
Mm.
And she started to talk about how, can't you see our family, like, you know, going over the fence and going to church and stuff? And I'm sitting there, and God's grabbing me by the collar saying, hey, buddy, this is what you prayed for. Do you know that I'm real now?
Mm.
You know, and he really turned me around at that point and said, you know, this is time for you to do your job. Be the leader of your household and follow me. And it came to a point where so many things happened in a row and in short order that I recognized, going back to the once saved thing, mm-hmm. I recognized that I gave my life to Christ, but I didn't put him in the right spot. You know, I didn't make him Lord of my life. I still wanted to rule things and run things myself. And because of his love that we just can't understand, you know, because of the non-forceful approach that God takes on the love side. God can force us in a lot of ways. But on the love side, you know, he's got these open arms. And he's standing there right behind you the whole time. And I would speak to, again, if somebody's driving and having that kind of feeling, you know, where I'm too far away, you know, God's right there. And if you just turn around, he's got his arms open for you. He's just waiting for you to embrace him again, or for the first time. And that's what I experienced. It was a time when I turned around and God was like, you know, I've been here the whole time, man.
Mm.
You know, don't you think you would be dead now, you know, if I wasn't here? Don't you think that you wouldn't be married and have, you know, at that time, two kids and now five kids? I mean, don't you think that I was here the whole time protecting you and loving you and being certain. So
I'm not a big bumper sticker guy.
No.
I did have a bumper sticker for about 6 years that said, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved?
Yeah.
So the scripture's pretty clear that he is there, and he hadn't moved, and we at some point will feel that there's been this hidden hand at work in our lives all the way, and we get to a point where we have to do what you did and acknowledge it.
You know, I don't want to get too off track. We'll come right back to it, but I did want to say I had a bumper sticker. It said, my wife thinks I'm at Promise Keepers. And Allison made me take it off the car. She thought that was, I thought it was a great bumper sticker, but
is that really what it said? I like that.
It's clever.
Promise Keepers probably put that out. Yeah, they got a good sense of humor.
Anyway. But so it's a great point, though. You know, I was just thinking as you're talking biblically about the story of the prodigal son, and I think a lot of times we think about that as, you know, this an image of when we aren't in relationship with God and kind of go off and find ourselves in the pig pen and come back. It's almost we kind of look at it from the perspective of a non-believer becoming a believer. But really, he was a son. In a sense, it's also a great image that sometimes we become a prodigal son even after, you know, we come to Christ, and yet the father's still standing out there on the road waiting for the kid to come back, and I think that's what you're saying. You turn around, and he's there. So what happened next?
Well, you know, ever since then, it's been an interesting journey as I try and grow closer to God and recognize that he does have a reason for us to be here. And, you know, and I'm not saying anything about the book. I'm not saying anything to advocate for or against. But, you know, I'm not a purpose-driven life kind of guy to say that, you know, God has this one job for you right now that you need to do. Now, you know, God gave us a mission, and that's to share his love with everybody we come in contact with, right? And, I mean, that's the mission I'm on, I guess, and I don't do it well. I fail. I mean, I fail all the time. But I know that I'm supposed to do that. I know that God's given me something that I can feel. And a lot of times it's hard to relay that to people, what that feeling is like, that joy, you know, that peace, that comfort that he gives us. But it's an expression of his love, and it's as a parent, it's maybe easier to understand. I'll share a short story. When my now 4-year-old son was 2, he was sitting in my lap one day, and we were sitting there watching TV, probably some sporting event or something, you know. And he was forced to, and I wasn't. And I was enjoying it, and he had just gotten in trouble for something, and that's why he was sitting with me, because he was kind of upset. And I embraced him, and I'm holding him, and he looked up at me, and he just said, you know, I love you, Daddy. And I thought, boy, I wept. I mean, I'm a sports guy, big guy, like, you know, I'm not a weeper, right? But I wept because it for some reason right then God said, that is what I want. I just want you to look up at me and love me back for no reason, regardless of whether or not you just got in trouble, regardless of whether or not you just did something wrong. That's how I love you, like a dad loves his 2-year-old. And I want you to love me back with the simplicity of a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Wow. You just love me.
Some reason we complicate it, and that's one reason we have you as a guest, is we like your testimony and the fact that as complicated as it could have been forever, you got clarity, simplicity, and got it back to the basics. So, way to go. We appreciate what you're doing. And what are you doing in your life these days?
Well, now I work in ministry. I mean, I work in a media ministry, and, you know, the goal is to use every form of media to share Christ with the world, you know? The goal is to use everything, radio, TV, film, online broadcast, you know, to share Christ in some way, shape, or form.
And where do you do this?
Is it okay to say it?
Yeah,
1615.tv. 1615.tv is where you can find out anything about that. We've got all kinds of stuff going on there. It looks like we're running close on time, so that's why I'm trying to move through it.
Well, I'm saying thanks for being polite. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying that.
Oh, no. You know,
glad you do what you do.
Hey, I'm glad you guys do what you do. And I've been a guest on some shows, and they don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. And then I've had people who get weird about that, but you guys are, I know you guys, so it's okay.
You know, but we're weird.
That's right.
And I'm weird too.
But we are blue collar socialites.
That's so right. So we're weird blue collar socialites, and God loves us all just the
same. Absolutely.
So this is You Get the Blessing. You've been listening to the voice of our guest, Ken Whatmore. Ken, thanks for being with us.
And thank you guys.
1615.tv.
That's right.
All right.
We'll see you next week here, Bob. What's going on this week? Anything big? Rockies?
Broncos?
Pretty salty.
All right.
Focus on it, folks. Your family, God, sports, however you want to mix those in there. It's all good. We love you. Thanks for tuning in. Arizona, Boston, California.